It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Here we go. Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy first real day of the tournament.
Is that your proper pronoun,
what?
Other guy? Do you go by the other guy?
Yeah.
So that's what you're...
Other. That's other? What I do. That's what I check on the
You're
the
just
thing.
Other?
They go, what's your marital status? I just go, no, I'm married, but always consider me another.
Another.
You know? That's our relationship on the air.
Is that a plus one or is it a
it's other? I'll be whatever you want me to be. That's the whole point. However I fit in, it works. So... I was looking at these deals that we had talked about the other day with Derek Carr going to the Saints for 4 years and $150 million. That's quite a gamble.
Yep.
But he is a starting quarterback. I guess there's that.
Had a lot of production.
Sure. He was in the Pro Bowl this year. Bowl quarterback.
Yeah. Might have been the Pro Bowl MVP and all the skills challenges. But he's got a lot of gas in the tank.
Yeah,
there's
There's an upside still. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Saints then yesterday also picked up Jamal Williams.
Yes.
The headlines, of course, here are Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams together again. And, you know, I don't know what the role of Jamal Williams is going to be. You know, you have a year like that where you break a franchise record. Why doesn't a guy like that end up getting re-signed by the Lions? Is it because then he becomes more expensive and then they go, thank you so
no.
much? Well, how is it that he doesn't last another year after having a record-breaking
year? If you kind of watch what happened, there's a younger guy, more talent.
Swift? Is that who it is?
They want to have emerge. And you saw from Jamal Williams, very passionate, very outspoken, and a guy who kind of won the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a lot of ways, you know. And so that guy's a threat to the young guy. And they want the young guy to kind of – and if he's always kind of behind the shadow of that guy – he gets moved. So if you think of like Steve DeBerg, Joe Montana were with the 49ers in the
right.
late 70s, and DeBerg was the more demonstrative
sure.
guy. And he's a very demonstrative guy. He's a very funny, very personable guy. I mean, he's like
super tan.
So likable. I'm just telling you, he's the life of any party.
Oh, that's – you know what? I mean, you were his teammate
yes,
for a while, so, like, you know that.
And they knew that Joe Montana, who they thought had a bigger upside, they knew that having the locker room divided or the potential of DeBerg being there could not let Montana
right.
flourish.
It's and the they Mahomes, made the, and they the made Mahomes the right, Alex Smith thing, right?
Completely, yeah.
Yeah.
And they made the right decision.
Good for them.
Yeah.
He ended up being a four-time
champ.
This
is just what my gut tells me. That's why. Because why the heck? There's no other reason. Unless it's money.
It might be, but I think that what's interesting is everybody's going, oh, Taysom and Jamal. I mean, these guys, they played in college together. Look at everybody's showing all the pictures of all the media days. I've interviewed these guys together at the same time multiple times in my career. And there's not a better interview than Jamal Williams, like just because of the stuff you're going to get. What's interesting, and I think what the reality is going to be, is a lot less fun and playful as people think. Both of them are third and short options.
Right.
They're going to be stealing reps from one another. like these are two guys. Like the specialty of Taysom Hill is what, third and two.
They're not going to be stealing time. No, that's not going to happen.
So Taysom's going to be that 32 guy.
Yes, because he's so multifaceted. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. You know, Jamal can do two of those things and not under center.
I will say that Jamal has been
and nothing against
awesome. No, he's like
nobody has a Taysom Hill, and you would not want to take Taysom Hill away from your offense, not at all.
So, Jamal, I mean, the guy has turned into something extra special compared to I think what people's expectations were, and you know he's been a very serviceable dude, and he is an awesome pass protector. He catches the ball awesome out of the backfield, and so who knows what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara in the off-field stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably part of it, too, is buying some time with that. But I was glad to see that they're back together. But, you know, it's not like they're going to be roomies, you know, on the road. And so this is I think it's great. And I think New Orleans has positioned themselves pretty decently. You know, their quarterback options were Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton at the end of the year, right? And so I think that they probably did better. They probably overpaid for Derek Carr, but – I think you're overpaying for quarterbacks anyway. That's the new thing. So, can I ask you something? Like,
it's not Wednesday, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, could we see Aaron Rodgers after revealing his intention to play for the Jets, never end up in a Jets uniform?
Like could that happen?
Right after today, after yesterday, and the whole thing, the not official part. I know everybody's crowning the Jets champions for getting him, but like, there's still some work to be done. And if there's enough vindictiveness by the Packers, they could really decide the fate of Aaron Rodgers in a way that he doesn't want to see happen.
I don't know as it's vindictive as so much as it is money-wise. I really think the big hang-up is his contract. I think it's a challenge to figure out how to resolve it. But also, there's the value side of it. I mean, you have the Packers that they're just like, This is a business transaction for us. And Aaron Rodgers is like, no, this is an emotional transaction. You're getting rid of the all-time greatest Packer. You're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers. And there's value in that to them. But to him, it's like, this is an emotional, this is a divorce. This is the end. And the Packers are like, we keep going on when you're here or you're not. So we move players all the time. And, to see it fall apart, to see it not happen, dumber things have certainly happened. And whether he likes it or not, really, the Packers hold all the cards in this. Like, there's no leverage. I mean, you know, he could say, well, I'm going to retire. And the Packers would go, well, we planned on you not being here anyway. So it's not – it. You know, whatever happens. And if he comes back, it's just bonus to the Packers, right? Because they go – we didn't expect him to be here, but if he comes back, then he is. So I could totally see this as a situation where it may go down to the last day. I mean, everyone says, I'm not going to hold anyone hostage. I'm not going to do anything. He's made his intentions clear. And the Packers, because usually deals in the NFL, when they're negotiated and they're hard negotiations, the teams tend to hold a hard line.
You know what the Jets are going and asking the Packers for their son's hand in marriage.
Right.
Like, they're going, hey, which, by the way, brings up harsh memories for me because I had to do that. I mean, I think we do it as like a tradition or whatever,
sure.
But I was also like 26, I think, probably when I was about to get married. And it seems weird to ask someone when you're 26 if you could marry their daughter. And one of the questions I got back was, well, are you an Eagle Scout? And, you know.
Well, are you?
No.
Oh, well,
absolutely not.
That's a deal killer right there, dude.
Come on. I can tie some knots.
Tie some knots?
Yeah.
You can set up a tent, go on a camp out.
Yeah, listen, I was really good at all that. I was good at getting all the merit badges that didn't really matter.
Well,
but they do now. Anyway, but that's what I'm saying is they have this awkward moment where they go, we want to make this thing happen and we'll try to, you know, make it advantageous for you. But whatever the deal is that they package up for Aaron Rodgers to go to the Jets are going to have to pay. I mean, they're going to have to give a lot up to be able to get a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
It's not just as cut and dried as everyone thinks, because we talked about this yesterday. What do you do with Zach Wilson? I mean, you're shelving Zach Wilson in a year. You're trying to make an evaluation of, is he any good or not? Is he a long-term solution for us? And to not have a body of work, to not give him those game reps – you know, I think is a very short-sighted thing with the Jets. But they, you know, maybe they feel the pressure that our defense is really good and we can win right now, and they gotta go with that move, because it's certainly gonna put them in a tough position. Now, you could keep Aaron Rodgers for 2 or 3 years and just cut bait with Zach Wilson in a year or so, and then down, you know, if you've done well, you've gotten into the playoffs, you've had a chance to compete to go to a Super Bowl, that maybe that's a different deal for the Jets. But you know, then in 3 or 4 years you got to start all over again. You got to find a quarterback, and they're hard to find, good ones, and it's hard to find one that lasts a long time. I mean, a lot of guys have come in and out of the league since Aaron Rodgers, you know, started for the Green Bay Packers.
So I was literally looking yesterday, and the highest paid running backs in the history of the league, guess who number one is?
Number one?
Number one.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Nope.
Saquon Barkley.
Nope. Saquon? Adrian Peterson.
Oh, really?
By $30 million.
Oh.
Number two is Ezekiel Elliott. Over his career, which I think we can all agree is not a Hall of Fame career so far, has earned $74 million in his career.
Whoa.
Yes. Adrian Peterson is $104 million. Over his career. Now, part of it is because he's been around for 100 years. And so,
wow.
But he took advantage of that second contract, you know, and he got it. Yeah. It's just insane, too, because we look kind of historically at how running backs are not getting paid nearly as much. But the top five highest paid running backs in the history of the league are over the last 5 years.
That might hold out for a long time. Well, no, because there's just so much money in the NFL.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is that a guy's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher, and they'll give him $20 million a year just as like for 4 years, right? Yeah. That'll end up being like the thing after their second contract there. All right, let me see here. Bobby Wagner, real quick before we get out, he's one of the free agent targets, right? And this is a seven-time All-Pro.
Yep.
The Seahawks may be interested in bringing him back, even after all the nastiness that sometimes kind of occurred after he had left. But one of the big targets was the Bills. The Bills are like, we might be aiming for this guy.
Yeah.
Von Miller and Bobby Wagner on this team that is trying to – that window is starting to close, right?
Right.
And you have a really great quarterback for a long time at least, but your defense isn't as good as it was a couple of years ago. So making those types of moves might be game changers for them.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner is a go-to-a-team-that-can-win-now type of player at a reduced rate. So you're going to get a lot of value, a lot of value.
Seven-time All-Pro.
You're going to get a lot of experience. He's the typical guy that the New England Patriots would pick in their heyday. A guy with still a few years left in the tank, but you're going to get at a good value.
All right, let's take the break here. We've got the two-minute drill around the corner. We have more to bring you here on the program on a action-packed Thursday of the NCAA tournament. Just a reminder that Unrivaled, all three of us, Scott and I, our producer Jeremy, all went 3-0 picking Furman over Virginia. I don't want to talk about the rest of my bracket, but Furman over Virginia. I called it. You called it. Jeremy called it. So nobody can say that this show – you can go look at our brackets, by the way, at KSLSports.com. You can compare yours to ours. Hopefully you signed up for that, and we'll see how we all do there. All right. We will come back. When we return, we'll have that two-minute drill and much more. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.